Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dolphin Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980, where you don't hear the intro music. You only hear that if you listen to the radio or the Odyssey app. How do we feel about Lil Wayne right now, Anthony?
Did you listen to his album?
No, I heard it was awful.
Yeah, that might have been one of the worst projects he's ever put. It's not even one of. That is the worst he's put out.
Drugs are bad, kids. They have long-term repercussions. It seems that perhaps Wayne's lyrical abilities got washed away in Purple Drank.
Yeah, it was bad. I texted my friends one of his lyrics, and I was like, no, he didn't really just say this.
Yeah.
He didn't really just say that.
Yeah, it's peak Wayne, like Carter 3, Lil Wayne. Carter 3 is one of the best albums of the last 30 years, 40 years, ever. That album is a masterpiece. Just the lyrics, the variety, the music, like all of it. And the Carter 6 is not, from what I have been told, slash not everything good that I've seen. So there's that. That's not what we're going to talk about today. What we are going to talk about today here on the Hoffman Show is the latest from Commanders camp. And you probably saw a pretty scary headline earlier today that Noah Brown was carted off the field at camp. And this is the kind of thing you just dread. I mean, I'll never forget when Reuben Foster went down all those years ago on one of the first days. I think it was like the first play of 11-on-11 in the spring. It was, you know, just brutal, even though, you know, Foster had an odd history, to say the least, a pretty rough history in how he wound up here. But you still just, you see a guy go down and it's just, it's brutal. And so you hear like Noah Brown carted off. How bad is it? Well, Ben Standig was on Grant Danny a little bit earlier, and I think this is actually encouraging to hear, because it sounds like it's not like he clearly broke his leg and was getting carted off because of that. I'll set it up that way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's hard to know exactly what happened, but basically he made a catch over the middle. It was like a sort of a low throw, and he went down to the ground, secured it, no big deal. But you could tell in the way he hit that something happened. You know, to what degree, who knows? He stays down for an extra 2, 3, 4 seconds. The training staff comes out. He does eventually get up and slowly walks off the field, but then they decide to cart him over to the building. And, you know, like I said, it's hard to tell exactly what stood out a little bit was when he gets to the building with the cart kind of rolls over sort of like a little bump out there. And at that moment, he kind of yelled, let out a scream. We were all sort of standing right there. And we don't know if it's a scream out of frustration, a scream out of the bump did something to him. I can't say for sure. But, yeah, the whole thing was, you know, jarring. You know, you've seen this before. Some guys, it seems like a disaster, and then it turns out.
Turns out it's not that bad. So we're going to have to see what this deal is with Noah Brown. This is a guy that, you know, especially because it sounds like, oh, he hit, like is something wrong internally. That thought comes to mind because of what happened to him last year and the significant scary injury that caused him to miss the back half of the season. And so that is obviously a bit of a scare. How bad is this? Is this something that by the time they get back on the practice field tomorrow, he's joining them for what's going to be a pretty light practice? Or is he not on the field until July when they go for training camp? Or is he going to start the season on PUP and we're not going to see him until October or November? Like, we don't know at this point. And so what I play that and say all that to say, let's not have a collective freak out yet, because you hear guy carted off and your, I think, next thought is, oh, season's over. That said, with Terry McLaurin not in camp with the contract and Debo being kind of a specialty type of player, and Michael Gallup has also missed the last couple of days with a hamstring issue, which he had plenty of when he was in Dallas, and we have no idea what Gallup is as a player. It's a reminder that this receiver room, like, it's not even that this receiver room is super thin and it gets real thin real fast. It's that this is the nature of the NFL. Like, there's no team in the league that can lose three or four guys at one position and be like, yeah, we're still killing it. Maybe if it's a D line, you have some options. If it's an offensive line and, you know, you got some quality depth, yeah, the drop off is less noticeable. But at a position like receiver, you don't get to have four number two receivers on your roster. Nevertheless, multiple number ones. So obviously, Terry, we expect to be here. But all of a sudden, it's like, wait, who's lining up outside? Are they lining Luke up out there? And then you get into some interesting names of some guys who have actually played pretty well in the last couple weeks. I mean, one guy that you might not even know is on the team is Chris Moore. Chris Moore is 6'1", 200. He's 31 years old in his ninth year out of, or entering his 10th year. He's got 9 years experience out of Cincinnati. And he should be killing the undrafted free agents and late depth chart guys. If you've made it, if you're good enough to be 10 years into your career, like I would hope that you have some good numbers. I mean, this is a guy who in his career total has 138 catches for 1,700 yards. His best year was 2022 with Houston, where he had 48 catches. Previous to that, his high was 21. He then followed it up with a 22 catch season in Houston in 2022, and then a 2022 was the 48 catch season. 2023 had a 22 catch season, both those around 500 yards, and then he played last year on and off for Arizona. Long story short, like, he's an NFL player. Noah Brown's better. I hope that, you know, I think in an ideal world for Adam Peters, all due respect to Chris Moore's probably not making the roster or is a veteran on the practice squad. So it's just a reminder of how fragile all of this is. Every team is one injury, one holdout, one whatever away from looking very, very different. And while Dan Quinn is going to do what he does and focus on the guys that are there, it is, I think, you know, there's a version of this season that plays out ultimate positive. Michael Gallup is healthy and he's back and he looks like the early 2020s Michael Gallup, a dude that was going to get massively paid before he had the ACL injury. And, you know, the year off, his speed is still there. He looks fresh and he's killing it opposite of Terry. Terry's happy with whatever happens with the contract. And Noah Brown is this big physical presence who's drawing PIs, blocking people, coming up with tough contested catches. Luke carves out a role. Debo's doing Debo stuff. And, like, this offense has weapons everywhere. There's also a version where Luke doesn't take a step. Debo's lost a step. Noah Brown and Michael Gallup are hurt. And Terry has some kind of downturn after not being there for the offseason. And that's going to put a lot on JT Daniels. And I tend to think we're a lot more towards the former than the latter. And I also think that Jaden Daniels is up for a lot. So we're gonna find out. But I think the point I think is most important here that I want to land on is, while Jaden was amazing last year, and I have full faith in him to continue to be amazing, part of what allowed him to be his best was they did not put as much on him as you can a quarterback, right? That's not to say that he's not capable of handling more and didn't get more capable as the season went. I am not trying to take anything away from Jaden Daniels. I am just acknowledging that he was a rookie who was treated like that, and that allowed, by surrounding him with talent and insulating him schematically, allowed him to show us the full brunt of his powers. And eventually, you can't make that happen because you have to pay him, and you're going to have to say, hey, man, we've gone from giving you a bunch of cushion to now you got to operate without that because we can't afford it anymore. But while you can afford it, you should. And that's part of the reason why I think this Terry thing needs to get done, and why, you know, the precariousness of the receiver position from an injury standpoint is on some small level a concern for me entering 2025. The more I think about it and the more we see the reality of Noah Brown has had an injury history. Michael Gallup obviously has an injury history, and how quickly that depth dissipates in the receiver room. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. You can drop us a comment there. In the chat, you can also give us a call at 301-230-0980 if you'd like to discuss that. The other big thing that happened today was Marshawn Lattimore spoke for the first time. Some interesting stuff from him. We'll talk more about Commanders minicamp before Kiki Iriafin joins us, the WNBA Rookie of the Month, at 4:30 here on The Hoffman Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. JP Finley is going to join us. He was out at Commanders minicamp, and JP will join us at 5 o'clock. His NBC4 colleague, Mark Seagraves, was kicked out of a city council meeting. Kicked out of a city council meeting where they were discussing the RFK budgeting process. So we will ask Mark why he is so disruptive and what he learned by being a good reporter. Coming up at 5:30, again, Kiki Iriafin, the Mystics forward, reigning WNBA Rookie of the Month, joins us coming up at 4:30. But now more on Commanders minicamp. Marshawn Lattimore spoke today, the first time we've heard from the former star cornerback, hopefully once again star cornerback, someone who the Commanders gave up a decent amount of draft capital for and did so with the idea that not only would he hopefully help them last year, but he would definitely help them this year. I think it's worth remembering that the Commanders made some choices last year, and I talked about this quite a bit then, but I know plenty of you are new to the show, so I'll say this again now. The Commanders had so much they wanted to change. And by the Commanders, I mean Adam Peters and Dan Quinn had so much they wanted to change on the roster. But there were certain positions where they're like, let's at least play this out because there's only so much money to go around. There's only so many draft picks. We can't do everything we want. And for instance, at the cornerback position, we have guys that are at least intriguing. Benjamin St. Juice has the size and length that a typical Dan Quinn corner has. Actually, was listening to DQ on Chris Long's podcast, and Chris Long was giving him a little bit of a hard time, being like, hey, man, you seem to have a type on corners. And DQ's like, sure do. He likes long, athletic, rangy guys with versatility, hence Trey Amos, who they were talking about. But on a build level, St. Juice fit that. And then there's obviously the ball skills element, and Emmanuel Forbes was drafted because of his ball skills. And so they decided last year, let's give these guys a shot. I think they found out pretty quick there's a reason why they hadn't been successful. And for Forbes, that was very, very quick. For St. Juice, they kept trying, because he felt like he was so close. But then you realize, oh, he's at his ceiling. This is who St. Juice is, close but no cigar. And so they make the trade midseason for Lattimore as he becomes available at the deadline. And it just doesn't work. It just flat out, there's nothing else you can say about 2024. That book is closed. It didn't work in 2024. That doesn't mean it can't work in 2025. So after the trade last year, ultimately, the question is, like, what did we see from Marshawn Lattimore? Is this a guy that is what he is now? Or is there another level to unlock if he can get and stay healthy? Lattimore asked that today, says it's the latter.
Not really. I feel a little timid, just not like physically, like, you know, not mentally like timid, but I can tell in my game when I watch film, I can tell how I'm stepping. But I look timid, you know, in my game. And now, you know, just being out there for these past 2 days, I feel way better than I did last year.
So we hear it straight from him. Like, that's not who I am still capable of being. The proof will be in the pudding. He's ultimately going to put on pads and play, and he's now wearing number 2. So if you see corner number 23, that's not Lattimore. That is Amos, who you'll hear Lattimore's thoughts on in a second. Marshawn getting the number 2 before the draft even happened, with Saner still going to 0. Or actually, no, Mikey was 0 last year. So who had 2 last year? Diami had 2. So Diami moving on. Now Lattimore can get that number that he wants. Point is, numbers aside, fun facts aside, I think you saw a guy that was bouncing between timid and trying to compensate for it last year. Occasionally you're just like, man, he didn't attack that like I thought. Like, oh, I guess they're giving up that comeback route, or they're giving that up based off the coverage, because that's not as aggressive as I would have thought Marshawn Lattimore played that. And then you also have the other side of that coin, which is at times you're trying to be over-aggressive because you know you can't run. You're trying to jam up a guy at the line of scrimmage or whatever it may be, because you don't trust your long speed. You don't trust your ability to stick with a guy down the field. And we saw him get beat plenty. So he never found out how to play at the state he was last year, which, if we want to be alarmist, we could say that is concerning moving forward, because he's eventually going to lose a step. And the question is, will he still be wearing burgundy and gold when that happens? That's the nature of athleticism in the NFL. And it's why the corner cliff is so steep, that when corners lose it, it can go from like all pro to not playable like that. But ultimately, they're betting on the fact that this season he will be right and can be the guy that we saw in New Orleans be one of the best corners in football. Here's more of Lattimore talking about the injury portion and how it affected his game last year.
Yeah, because I just wanted to prove that, you know, they made the right decision, obviously. So I just wanted to get out there and show what I can do, but you know, I was hurt, but I don't want to make excuses. So I was out there, If I was good enough to play, you know, I can be evaluated on that. So, you know, it is what it is. I just want to get out there this year, you know, show what I can do.
And that's, you know, that's the conundrum, right? Oh, I'm hurt. Do I go out there and try to be the best I can and see what can happen? Or do I simply, you know, just say like, hey, sorry, y'all made the right decision, but you're not going to be able to see it yet because I'm not right. And he probably, in hindsight, should have just done the latter. Tried to get out there, you know, comes back out. There, he's not him all of last year. And TBD, whether he actually will be this season. We got a glimpse the last couple of days, but it's going to take until training camp and then obviously into the regular season to get a better sense. And it'll be fun once he and Terry are going at each other as well, if Terry's in training camp, which hopefully they get the contract done. And he is. Of course, they've already drafted the replacement / the complement to Marshawn Lattimore, and that is Trey Amos, who is very impressive to Lattimore so far.
Oh, he got technique. His technique is there. You know, he from right now, what I see as far as his technique, he look complete. You know, he a rookie and it's early, but, you know, throughout the season, I just feel like he's going to keep it up and get better as the season goes. And I'm excited to see, you know, how he turn out.
can never have enough good corners. And this is something where I think they already have a lot more depth. Like Lattimore is better than the two guys they had starting last year. I think there's a chance that Amos is better than the two guys they had starting last year. Obviously, sophomore Mikey in the slot is better than rookie Mikey in the slot, which is where Sainristil still started last year, even though he ultimately moved inside or outside. And you know you have that as an option as a backup. Jonathan Jones, same thing. Is he inside? Is he outside? Either way, you have depth. Noah Igbinoghene was their starting nickel for most of last year. If Jones is their fourth corner, that means Noah I is your fifth corner. And then you get to guys like Carlin Vigors, the undrafted free agent, who I know they liked quite a bit, and we'll see if he can make the club. Obviously, that'll be a big special teams question, amongst other things. They also have options with guys like Will Harris, who is going to be a starting safety, but can play a lot of nickel. You have all these Buffalo nickel types, the Dominique Hamptons, the Kane Medranos, etc. So it is an interesting group of pass coverers, let's say. But if Lattimore can be a dude, I mean, let's say he's borderline Pro Bowl, nevertheless the All-Pro that he was at times in New Orleans. If he is like in consideration potentially for the Pro Bowl by the end of the year, so he's had a good season, I think that changes the dynamic of this defense tremendously. And it might change with the opponent. You know, maybe A.J. Brown gets him, but he's able to guard other guys. Who knows? We'll see. Body types, et cetera, different skill sets, how those matchups go. But it changes your pass rush. It changes what you can do with the other guys, how many bodies you need in coverage, where you send your help, what kind of, you know, coverage structures you want to play. It's just so different if you have a guy on the outside. Like, a guy on the outside changes your defense more than a premier pass rusher, more than, you know, a great linebacker. It just, it, if you can shut down the other team's best option and then play 10 on 10, you are in a very, very different place than if you got to play 11 on 11 and, you know, the potential help has to be all over the place. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, well, first of all, at 5 o'clock today, JP Finley is with us talking ball, what he saw today out at minicamp, and we'll get JP's take on the Terry contract situation. 5:30, his colleague at NBC4, Mark Seagraves, on the RFK latest. And then 6 o'clock, you'll hear from Lattimore more, as well as from Bobby Wagner and Dan Quinn in our pick 6 at 6. We'll preview the NBA Finals at 6:30. And next, our one other veer away from the Commanders today, reigning WNBA Rookie of the Month, Kiki Iriafin, joins us here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Of course, your home for Mystics basketball. Next up, Sunday is the next game. You'll hear it here on the Team 980. And joining us now from the Mystics, the reigning WNBA Rookie of the Month, Kiki Iriafin. Kiki, congrats again on the award. And are you getting to enjoy, like, I know you guys got practice, but like a week between games, is this a luxury feeling right now for you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for that lovely introduction. But it's honestly, it's been nice having no games for the past few days and just having an opportunity to, one, take care of my body. But then, two, like, I feel like we haven't had team practice in a while. So it's nice for all of us to continue to work on our chemistry and kind of just fine tune some of the details. So I'm enjoying this week.
Yeah, for sure. Is this, I mean, that's a huge adjustment that I don't feel like is talked about a ton between college and the league, is just the kind of rhythm of a college season. You might play once a week, you might play twice a week, but there's a lot of practice time in the league with the travel and the game schedule. There's actually not a ton of practice. So is that something that you were kind of ready for coming into the season, or has that been an adjustment of how do you keep working on your game? How do you develop that chemistry without all of the practice time that you get at the collegiate level?
Yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment. And I think the biggest thing at the pro level is learning on the fly. You know, some days we might have only one day of like prep in between a game, or no prep at all. You might have back to back. So really being able to study things on the fly, be able to learn things just from film. We don't always get an opportunity to walk through things. I think that's been the biggest adjustment. So for me, I've really just been really big on watching film. I meet with my coaches almost every day, watching film on myself and then my opponents. But yeah, I'd say the biggest thing is like, you don't have as much time to prepare for one team as you would in college.
Kiki Ariefin with us here on the Hoffman Show. I know that one way that you've been trying to get better is the Breakfast Club. Jen Hatfield wrote a great story in The Nine about this the other day, if folks want to learn the full story here. But can you tell our listeners, Kiki, about what the Breakfast Club is and how that has become a part of your routine here in the league?
Yeah, so Breakfast Club is Jade and then Coach Turner, us three every morning. We meet like way before practice and we kind of just work on individual things, but then Jade and I having a big guard connection, just working on some pick and roll actions. But this has been something that has been super helpful for me, and I think Jade as well, and just giving us one, confidence in the things that we're doing on the court, but then two, just making sure that her and I can have great chemistry together. And I think, you know, it's been showing when we're playing as well. But I think Breakfast Club is just an opportunity for us to focus on ourselves outside of the team, and we always have fun every morning. It's something that I look forward to. So shout out to Coach Barb Turner.
Shout out to Barb. Is there times in the game where like you and Jade will hit something, or you get the screen angle just right, or she hits you perfectly with the pocket pass, whatever it is, that you're like, oh yeah, that was from Breakfast Club? Like, do you have those moments? Do you talk about them on the bench?
Definitely. I think Jade does a better job of it than me just acknowledging Breakfast Club. She's always saying Breakfast Club or something that like an inside joke that no one would know unless you were at Breakfast Club. But Jade is great. She's such a great personality, has such energy and such a selfless teammate. But definitely like when her and I connect on things in the game or even in practice, we're always like Breakfast Club, Breakfast Club.
I love it. Kiki Ariefin, again, the WNBA Rookie of the Month with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I mentioned that again, Kiki, not just to gas you up a little bit, but the video that the team released after you won the award and you were surprised by it. One, because you didn't even know the award existed when you were told there in the team meeting room. But then, when you know, when everyone's giving you the big speech and then you're like, all right, I'll say something. And you said like, hey, you guys, my teammates have helped me find the joy of basketball again. What did you mean by that? Because you're someone that always looks like you're having a great time. You exude joy in so many ways, but this is also, I'm sure, a grind. Like, it's you're in a long college season, right into the W season. What did you mean by, you know, you guys have helped me find the joy of basketball again?
Yeah, I think one, I'm super grateful that I got drafted to this organization. Since the day that I got here, they've made me feel like family, and I feel very, you know, loved here. Especially since I've never left California, so moving across the country was kind of scary. But I think the biggest thing was my senior season was really tough for me, and I didn't always love basketball when I was playing. And I feel like since I've been here at the Mystics, I've kind of found my footing again. I've gotten back to Kiki in the way that I play basketball, which I think is just playing so freely. So I think that's the biggest thing, is that I have great teammates and coaches and a front office that allows me to be my authentic self.
And obviously, it's been quite successful. That's how you get that Rookie of the Month, all the double-doubles, all those things. But Kiki, when I was watching, I think it was like the second game of the season, and I'm watching you and Sony, you know, do what you're doing out there in a level that we just don't see from rookies in this league very often. It's a very, very difficult league. I'd say arguably from like a talent concentration standpoint, this might be the toughest league in any sport in the world because it's such a small league with so much talent. And so rookies have traditionally struggled, and you've been able to come in, as has Sony, and produce at a high level. But not only have you been able to do it, this team has kind of needed it between the injuries to Aaliyah and Kira and just kind of how the roster is constructed. I remember Jamila telling me before the season, like, we have the youngest roster ever in the history of the league. So at what point did you, you know, kind of not only find that confidence to do what you're doing, but maybe even you and Sony, I don't know if there's a moment where you look at each other or it's acknowledged by Sydney in a meeting where you're like, hey, we need you guys to be aggressive. We need you guys to score. So how did that mentality, that approach, that confidence come to be over this first month and change of the season?
Honestly, I think, you know, coming in as a rookie, it can be very daunting, but Sony and I have a great communication and we just talk to each other. So even before our first game, you know, there's all the nerves and everything, but having someone that I was able to talk to and we're going through the same thing at the same time is honestly very comforting. But I think for us, like, our coaches don't put any pressure on us. Our vets don't put any pressure on us. They're just like, just go out there and play basketball, go out there and hoop. So I feel like that's been something that has allowed us to, you know, play well, is because we're not afraid to make mistakes. Our coaches want us to make mistakes because we see them as learning opportunities. So I think it's truly just the environment that we're in. Like, yes, this is one of the toughest leagues in the world, if not the toughest league. And every single night we're going against the best of the best competition. But our coaches allow us to go out there and be fearless. Like, if you make a mistake, all right, the next time you're going to get it, you'll do it better. So I feel like that's the biggest thing, is that they've given us an environment that we can thrive in, that we can learn in, and we're not afraid to just go out there and play.
I love it. Kiki Arifin with us on the Hoffman Show. Speaking of the vets, we saw that moment after the New York game where Steph Dolson has the entire team in the huddle. Obviously, a great performance on Sunday against Connecticut followed. What did Steph say in that huddle, and what did that moment mean to the team?
My gosh, Steph is great. Steph is such a selfless teammate, and she's been great for me playing in the post position, and she's just always teaching me, even during training camp when we were going against each other. She was still helping me out, even though I was guarding her. So she just has such a humility to her that is very much appreciated by the team. But after the New York game, you know, obviously the first time we played New York wasn't our best, but the second time we really gave them a game, and, you know, they had to earn the win. And, you know, we are still learning and still young, but we know that every game we're going to just get better and be able to close out games. But the biggest thing that she told us was, like, don't put your head down. Like, we competed. We gave it our all. They're the best team in the league. They're the reigning champions for a reason. And we were still able to hold our own. So just use it as a learning opportunity. Use tonight if you want to be sad about it, cool. But the next day, it's like we have another game. We have a new day. You know, it's not the end of the world. So kind of just giving us confidence that, look, we can compete with the best of the best, and we're only going to get better from this.
Learning from people guarding you seems to be a thing that is not just Steph in training camp. I think I saw Stewie had a quote about, like, she's telling you a little something during the game. You told, yeah. You know, you said in an interview recently, like, going against Tina Charles was amazing, even though she's just my opponent. When the ball goes up, like, talking to her during the game was cool. It sounded like there was some knowledge exchange there. What's that been like to kind of come be, or to become a part of that WNBA sisterhood and have vets, even on other teams, kind of one, say, hey, game recognized game, I see what you're doing. But two, by the way, here's a little tip for you for next time.
Yeah, definitely. Little Kiki is screaming, like, wow, I'm competing against Stewie, Asia, Tina, BG, and, you know, I'm able to hold my own, but also they're giving me advice while we're playing, which I think is probably the most remarkable thing that I've noticed since I've been in the league so far, is, like, the vets are willing to, you know, give me some help and give me some advice, even though they're still trying to bust me during the game. But I think that's just a testament to what the WNBA is. It truly is a sisterhood. Even though we're competing every single night, it's kind of like everybody wants to uplift each other, especially the vets with the rookies. I know Sony has some stories as well of, you know, vets giving her advice and tips. But yeah, I think that's just the greatest thing, is that even though I'm competing against a Stewie or a Tina, like, they're still able to give me some help in terms of how I can get better in the league. So that's something that I've really appreciated since I've been here.
Do you ever just go, like, I can't trust this, I'm not going to try it against you? Like, there's no way you're, there's no way you're telling me how to beat you. Come on.
Definitely. I think the first time I ever experienced it was our first game when we played Atlanta. BG was giving me tips and, like, trying to tell me the rules and stuff. But I didn't really believe her because I was like, it's my first game. I can't mess up. I don't know if she's trying to throw me off. but since then, I've been able to kind of take in information and see what I'm going to listen to and what I'm not going to listen to.
I feel like Taurasi would have been the one who would have done that, who would have been like, told you all the wrong things during the game, and then afterwards been like, okay, so I just told you the opposite. That's really going to help you moving forward, but I was just trying to mess with you. So at least DT finally has hung up the shoes, and you don't have to worry about her messing with you. Last things for Kiki Arifin here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, of course, your home for Mystics basketball. Kiki, last time we talked was media day. You had barely been in town. Have you had a chance to explore any more of DC since you've been around, and even maybe this week with the time off that we talked about at the beginning?
So I haven't been able to, but I've been able to spend more time with my teammates. So, like, Sony and Georgia, we live together, so just hanging out with them. We're doing some stuff in the community this week with Ben's Chili Bowl, so I'm excited to just get to learn DC more, get to hang out with the community. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've loved since I moved to DC is just the love and support that we get from all fans. And they truly support us, win, lose, or draw. Even when I'm not making shots, I hear the fans in the crowd saying, you got the next one, Kiki. So I think that's just something I really appreciate. So I'm excited to just be more immersed in DC.
All right, we'll table a roommates game / come up with a roommates game for the three of you next time we chat. That is definitely going to happen. But I actually did want to close asking about the event at Ben's. It's a very, like, in a way, it's a place where you get hot dogs and hamburgers, but it is an immense historical site in the city. Like, do you know anything about that? And obviously you're excited to see the fans and that, but have you had a chance to kind of learn about the Ben's place in history in the city?
I have no idea. I've heard that it's a big deal and it's something that I should be very grateful to be a part of, which I am. But I'm just excited to meet people, show off the Mystics a little bit more. But I have absolutely no clue what Ben's Chili Bowl is.
It is. It's a historic site because of who has eaten there over the years. It's the short version. I'm sure you will get a much better briefing. We're only on Wednesday here, and the event's not till Friday. So folks can check out Kiki and some of her teammates at Ben's Chili Bowl with an event with the Mystics Friday. It starts at 4 o'clock if anybody wants to go. And I'm sure, Kiki, you'll get the full briefing before. But basically, like, this is a place that fed civil rights leaders, et cetera, during the civil rights movement, amongst many other historical figures over the years. So I'm sure you will enjoy learning the history and getting to be there. It's a cool spot, and I'm glad you're getting to do it and experience this so early on in your career in D.C. And Kiki, as always, thanks for the time here on the radio. I'm sure I'll see you out at the arena soon, and continued success on this great rookie season so far.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And in 10 minutes, JP Finley gives us the latest from Commanders minicamp after his day in Ashburn. Day two of Commanders mandatory minicamp, an eventful day. Noah Brown carted to the locker room, I feel like is a better phrasing than carted off. He walked off to a cart and then was transported up off the practice field on said cart. So if we learned anything in the couple of hours since that happened, we will get the latest from JP, as well as he'll chime in on the McLaurin contract situation, what he's seen from Marshon Lattimore, et cetera, et cetera. With the couple minutes we have before JP, though, it is time to go around. No, not Price is Right music. I hit the wrong button. No, they're not. That would be pretty funny, Anthony, if I just decided to spring a game on you. But instead, we're doing. Actually, it'd be even funnier as AMAC walks into the picture in the background. What if I just sprung a game on the two of you? What if I just, and maybe it wasn't the wrong button. If I just, and we just, I don't have a game.
I guess we wouldn't be playing a game.
No, I would need a game. Ready? Well, here's the game. Ready? Who is Aaron Rodgers married to? You can stop thinking. We don't know. He just showed up to Steelers camp with a wedding ring on his finger, and everyone's like, is that a wedding ring?
So it's a trick question.
I mean, kinda. He's married. There is an answer. Nobody publicly knows it yet. Which just adds to the mystery wrapped inside an enigma, wrapped inside a surprise that is Aaron Rodgers. Interesting guy. As for actual football news that is around the NFL, couple of things from around the league. I think the weirdest, I mean, outside, non-Aaron Rodgers category, the weirdest thing that is happening in the NFL right now, Anthony, is in Cincinnati, where the Bengals not only are getting a holdout from their veteran pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson because they refuse to pay him and refuse to trade him and just are kind of holding him hostage with the franchise tag, but they also are getting that treatment from their rookie because... So most of the things in a rookie contract are already negotiated. There is certain language around certain guarantees and injuries and this and that and a couple of other things that can be tweaked ever so slightly. But rookie salaries are slotted. The amount of money that Shamar Stewart is going to make is not up for debate in terms of the per years, the bonuses, etc. And the Bengals are trying to play hardball on the language. And Shamar Stewart's having none of it. And he
held in, as the term is. Like, he was at minicamp, but did not participate because he hasn't signed his contract yet. For, I would say, maybe not 31 other teams, but high 20s other teams, I'd be like, rookie, shut, just put pen to paper, bro. You'll be all right. I see this story and I immediately go, this is the Bengals' fault. Because that's so incredibly Bengals. Let's just be the cheapest we possibly can. I could see them doing this. I could see the Jets doing it. The Jets aren't cheap. The Jets are just dumb. I could see Dallas doing something like this where you're just like, Jerry, what are you doing, man? It's just... And the thing is, the part of the reason I feel so strongly, I guess, oddly strong, about Shamar Stewart being right here was, did you see the quote that he had, Anthony?
This is the quote that Chris Russell was trying to read, so yes.
Oh, yes, that's true. He did. I totally forgot that this was read yesterday on the Chris Russell show.
Y'all.
Yeah. Y'all. I can't, before we get too derailed, y'all are trying to win arguments, not trying to win games. That's a bar from Shamar Stewart. And it's a bar that is like devastating in its truth at the Cincinnati Bengals. So
can you say one more time?
Y'all don't, the paraphrase was, now I'm trying not to say y'all. No, I'm just trying to think of what it was. Y'all are trying to win arguments, not games. That's the gist of it. It's brutal, man. Brutal. When a rookie calls you out on your BS, a rookie calls you out on your BS. Other than that, J.K. Dobbins is in the mix with the Broncos, according to sources. Probably showed up today. If not, he'll be there tomorrow, I would assume, for mandatory minicamp. Sean Payton yesterday deferred questions until today. Amongst the holdouts, not only Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, TJ Watt also missing minicamp, looking for a new contract. He, like McLaurin, is in the final year of his deal. And because I did see this from one of the Commanders' blogs on the internet, no, the Commanders should not trade Terry McLaurin for TJ Watt. What is wrong with some of you? Not even that TJ Watt's not a great player. It's just like, that's the whole, I'm not even explaining it.
How old is TJ?
31 or 32, and he's been hurt every year.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You're not trading Terry McLaurin. Quit trying to trade Terry McLaurin. Just get him signed.
Do you think he's trying to be the highest paid defensive player again?
What? Miles Garrett got paid a lot of money. If he's trying to do that, that is an incorrect pursuit by TJ Watt. He does not. TJ Watt's awesome. He's not better than Miles Garrett. He has not been more reliable than Miles Garrett. That is relevant.
You know that have a ton of similar stats since they both were drafted.
They do, but they're not going to have similar stats the next 3 years.
True. You're right.
And that's what you're paying for. You don't pay contracts based off of what happened. You pay them based off what you think is going to happen, which is why contract negotiations get real sticky sometimes. And they currently are with the Steelers and TJ Watt. All right. That is a quick look around the NFL. When we get back, JP Finley focusing back in on the Commanders.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.